J.J. Watt was on Texans All Access last night, and he gave his perspective on what it was like for him to watch Tiger Woods win the Masters on Sunday.
There's a part of you that watches that and just knows what he's going through and knows the emotions that he has to be feeling at that moment, because you've been at those low lows where you question, can I ever do it again? I mean, he's talked about it before, how he questioned if he could physically do it again, and he told people he was done at one point. And I can say that I've felt those feelings where you're down, yeah, and you're like, you never know. But then to see him triumph and to see him get back to the very top of the game, I know how good that feels too. And it's such a incredible feeling. So I think that my emotions might have been even more than a regular person watching him play that, because I know exactly what that feels like, to be down and then to be up, and how special that moment is.
I thought that was a pretty interesting answer, yes, because I mean, we've seen Tiger at some low points on the golf course, like where he's grimacing or he went down to a knee a couple of times, but you don't really see him at the lowest of moments, at the lowest of moments when they're like alone and they're in a lot of pain. We don't usually see those, and JJ knows about those.
Yeah, when you know, Tiger trying to swing and he can't do what he normally could do, and you wonder if you're ever going to be able to do it again. You know, all right, so let me, not that it's about me, but let me just tell you this. I've had big problems with my voice, right?
Yep.
But not lately. Not for the past 2 or 3 years. I've managed to really find a way around it, but it's reflux based, and I'm not going to get into the details. But I had moments in the off season where I'm like, I can't go there. I can't get up to that level I need to go to broadcast games. And I felt like this must be what an athlete feels like, where I can't cut on that knee. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I thought, it's a helpless feeling, because this is what I do, you know. This is what I want to do. This is the only thing I really want to do professionally. And so I kind of identified with it at that level, and luckily for me, I've been able to solve it. So to hear JJ talk about it, I thought, wow, man, I can't forget about that. You got to be grateful for what you got.
It's and it's really, because I went through it after I tore my ACL in 2003. I kept having complications with the knee, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with it.
Oh, gosh.
Like, my body rejected. We used a cadaver tendon, but my body rejected it, and we
did. You ever find out who it was from?
I hadn't. No.
Who is this person?
Satan. It was so I ended up having like 4 surgeries, and I remember like one day I just broke down. Like, I was sitting on my couch and at home, and I just found out we were gonna have to have surgery again, and I just lost it.
Were you ever the same?
I came back and I played in the first game that season,
yeah,
and I think I got back to a pretty good level. But like the actual, I appreciated playing in a way that I never would have before, because it wasn't like I was just injured. It was, I didn't think I was ever going to play again. Like, I didn't know what was going on with my leg, and it was getting to the point where, like, it had atrophied so much that I was worried, like, that I might not be able to walk or something. They couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with me. So, like, that freaked me the hell out. And I think that once you do that, and you see it with JJ, JJ's more philosophical about things now than he was before. Like, he's just grown a lot. He's just not like he was immature before, but he feels more wise now than he used to. Like, he feels like he has perspective on things.
He's entering year 9.
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. When he was in year 5, we had him on one of our shows, and I said, all right, it's year 5. All right, you know, you're not obviously old, but you're getting closer to the halfway point, whatever that might be. You're getting closer to, I forget how I worded it. It was respectful. He said, I do think about that. This is 2015, I think. So think about that. He's going into year 9. I mean, you got to appreciate this while you have him, because it's not going to last forever. We know that.
What did you think watching Tiger on Sunday?
Well, I always think about golf in a different way, because as a professional sport, you can do that possibly. Now, it's difficult, but you can do that in golf. You can be relevant in golf forever. I mean, Arnold Palmer, when you talk about golf earners, was top 3 until he died. I think he still is top 3, and he's dead. I mean, you can make money in golf and you're dead. Yeah. It's that kind of sport. All right. You got the Champions Tour. You got endorsements. You're still celebrated. You know, they got the Insperity coming up. I don't know what they have for the, you know, when they had the Arnold and Jack and that group and Gary Player. I don't know what they have planned this year. Last year they had Attica, but you know, they have great stuff there. You're still relevant in that sport. You can still play the sport. You can't play football past time of retirement. You know, that's what fascinates me about golf, to see Tiger do it. Look, Tiger's like LeBron to me. I rooted for Tiger young when he went through all the stuff, and I was like, I'm done with Tiger. I was rooting against him, actually. But, you know, it's sports, so it's all fun and games. Believe me, if I met Tiger, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, you're amazing. But now, but after a while, like 2 years ago, I thought, all right, it's time. I'm ready for him to win again. Let's go. Let's go, Tiger. So I was big time pulling for him on Sunday. To see him do it was amazing.
Let me ask you this, because for a lot of people with Tiger, it's a redemption story, and it's not just on the course, it's off the course.
Yeah.
What if he's not all that redeemed?
Yeah, well, no, who knows?
Like, I mean,
well,
it was like 2 years ago that he had the DUI issue, right?
Yes.
Like, so would that actually ruin it for some people? Personally, I don't care. Like, I flat out just 100% don't care. Many, many great athletes have done some pretty scurrilous things in their personal lives, and it just never hits the press.
Do we really want to know these?
Right. But that's where I want everybody to pump the brakes a little.
Yes, my life is boring.
I want people to pump the brakes a little bit on, like, making it about the complete package and the total redemption as a person.
I agree.
No, he was a great athlete, then he wasn't, and now he is again.
No. Everything personal is back in the closet where it belongs. Let's just win, and let's have this sort of superhero persona that we like in our sports figures.
Yeah, if I'm worried about athletes cheating on their wives, I feel like that's a road I do not want to go down very far. And that's all I'll say about that part of it. I do want to ask you
everybody
this, Mark.
Pauses.
Yeah,
everybody
pauses. Like, an awkward pause, and like you're looking at me like, oh, no. What?
Not you.
What do you think I'm doing?
The hell? Then you look at me. Oh, what? My marriage isn't going to work out?
I'll tell you what, though. I always thought Tiger could win a British. I never thought he would win a major like the Masters, because the Masters is tough. Although somebody told me it's the easiest one to win because the field is smaller and things like that.
And they're old. But you got all the olds in there.
Yeah, but you got all the good guys in there,
it's
too.
It's a tough course, though. I thought maybe a British, because Tom Watson could have, would have, should have won one at 59.
Very close. Mark, in the building at NRG this week, you have the restart, the start of the offseason program. What's the feeling of the players on a week like this?
Well, you know, Seth could talk about this, but they love being there with each other, you know, and that's what it's all about. What is the first thing the athletes say when they retire, you know? After,
locker room, clubhouse.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss the guys. I miss the camaraderie. They've got that now. They're working out anyway on their own, because they know if they slack off too much, it's going to be death trying to get back into shape. So they got to be in shape anyway. They got to work out anyway. They might as well do it together. So they really enjoy that part. And there's no pressure now. There's no football pressure going on. So it's just working out with your buddy. Cecil Short said it the other night at Fuddruckers to us, and I've heard it from numerous guys. It's just fun to be able to work out and be. Now, look, talk to them in 2 weeks. They might be like, okay, I want to go to Cabo or something like that. But I think they really legitimately enjoy being together at this time of year where, all right, the closest game is four or five months away. So now you've got a situation where you're just with the guys.
Yeah, and it's fun, especially when you're doing whatever you do in the off season. Usually it's in a smaller group or by yourself.
Yeah.
It's fun to be running in a group. It's fun to do all that.
Plus you got the food there. Yeah. Everything's taken care of.
Frankly, like every football team has at least three or four guys that are the funniest people you've ever known. And like those aren't like they're funnier than your own friend group. That's all.
The smart ones.
You're like, all right, these guys
bottom line.
The defensive backs are much funnier than any of the kids I grew up with.
The smart ones know it's a limited window, right? Yeah. You're only there for a few years at best. I mean, if you're there for a few years, you've made it big. I mean, really,
yes.
I mean, compared to the rest of humanity, so they got to take advantage of it and appreciate it.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday. Mark Vandermeer is in with us, brought to you by Mattress Firm. Time now for Mad Takes. Jason LaCanfora, owned by Jeff Fisher.
Jason No LaCanfirma, also known as Jason LaCanfabrication, also known as Jason LaCanfornication.
Also known as Radio.com Insider.
Oh.
Way to throw him under the bus, guys. Jeez.
What are
hilarious. So Jason LaCanfora, longtime NFL reporter, tweeted yesterday he's hearing Jeff Fisher is in line to coach Houston of the XFL. Jeff Fisher responded by saying, "False news that I'm headed to XFL Houston. Maybe get better sources. Have a great Thursday."
I don't know. I think he's onto something. Jeff Fisher's coming.
You can't get this wrong. Like he's right.
Is,
this is the kind of story that LaCanfora can't.
No.
Why would Fisher
do
that?
He can get it wrong. Remember when it was a linebacker for the Ravens was meeting with the Ravens? LaCanfora reported, who was it?
Oh, it's the guy who retired with the neck injury.
All right, thanks. That was the whole point.
All right, so you asked me who it was.
No. He was so this linebacker is having meetings with the Ravens, and LaCanfora reports that this linebacker is about to get an extension. 6 hours later, he retired, there's no retraction, nothing. Just LaCanfora reports these things, and then life continues.
It's like Stephen A. Smith without the money and the ratings, okay? When Stephen A. gets stuff wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's not a reporter.
And he's more of an opinionist. He is an opinionist.
Lockenfor is supposed to report things. Right. Like, nobody cares what Lockenfor thinks. They want to hear what news he has.
It's one thing if you're reporting things that could happen or are likely to happen. When it's something like, hey, this team is going to hire this coach, you can't get that wrong.
Nope.
This team is going to hire this coach.
But he's right.
Well, if he's right, then I'll apologize to him on Monday or Tuesday, and it'll be fun to have Jeff Fisher coaching the Houston XFL team.
Is he really a Radio.com guy?
Yes.
He is a Radio.com guy. He is a teammate of ours, and he has great takes on the Baltimore Orioles. And, yeah, you know, that's all our right. Jason Lockenfor.
He used to be for when we were a CBS company, he was also a coworker and
we had
the same opinions about him.
Did you like him?
He was fine. But, you know, then you started to realize, wait a minute, he's getting some of this stuff wrong. Yeah. Some of these stories are not exactly coming true. Yeah.
And so, no, he was the one year too, cause I told Prisco about it, cause Prisco works for CBS Sports. He kept reporting that Brock Osweiler was going to ruin DeAndre Hopkins in his contract year. It's not his contract year. He's got another year left on his contract.
details.
He wrote it like three times over the course of a month and a half. It was driving me insane.
Guys, this is disappointing news to find out, but a study done at the Herslanden Clinic in Switzerland finds that the beards on men have more bacteria and even bugs than what is found in a dog's fur. Researchers took swab samples from the whiskers of 18 men from 18 to 76, compared them with samples from the necks of 30 dogs of various breeds. 23 of 30 dogs studied had high amounts of germs in their fur. The other 7 had moderate amounts. But when it came to beards, 7 of them had high enough microbe counts to be considered a threat to human health. The Beard Liberation Front is very opposed to this study.
Okay, those stats don't tell me a lot. All it tells me is that most dogs had a bunch of bacteria, but it doesn't tell me how many humans did. It only knows that
single one had high counts of bacteria, 7 of which were...
Seven were really, really high. Okay.
Beard. Yeah. Clean
that's,
shaven
I don't
me.
Care what. Dogs,
you.
Dogs are really, like, most women would hug a dog.
They do.
True.
Yeah.
It smells kind of bad.
Yeah, they get real close with the dogs.
I'm not buying this study.
But not you guys.
I shower every single night. Why would my beard be dirtier than a dog?
Yeah, when did they take the sample?
How is
they're
that possible?
Eating food, like you get the crumbs in there. It's
yeah, but a dog is God knows where.
I mean, you guys don't exactly have the thickest of beards. Yeah. Not to knock your beards, but yours I think would be fine.
I wasn't even aware I had a beard. I just don't pay attention.
Galant kind of looks like Santa Claus in college, you know, before he puts on weight, he grows the beard really long.
We're going to keep the weight off. Yeah. We're keep that weight off.
Okay.
So, look.
Santa Claus before he started hating the children.
I overtake care of my beard. Like, I have a beard wash. I have beard cream to style it. I have growth oils that I put in there as well.
Growth oils?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure
they're BS.
I'm not buying that study because, like, most men shower once a day and they clean their beard. Most dogs aren't getting a bath once a day. I'm not buying this at all.
I think they brought in a bunch of stray dogs and homeless people.
Like, homeless dudes.
Yeah, that's what
right?
it sounds
yeah.
like. Or I'm just not buying this.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, wait,
the beard
this
liberation,
is in Europe.
Who's the study done by?
It was done by the Herslanden Clinic in Switzerland. The Beard Liberation Front, which exists, is in major opposition to
this
study. And they say it's about an irrational fear of beards.
Sounds like this is an Alex Jones study.
That is kind of what it sounds
the
like.
The beard top bacteria!
The Jaguars are talking about getting creative to make fans more comfortable during hot and sunny games, reading this off of Pro Football Talk.
This is unbelievable.
They've seen proposals to use drone-powered artificial clouds that could be used over stadiums to keep fans cooler. He says, quote, "It's very futuristic, but it could be very cost-effective only on the days you need it," unquote. I don't know how feasible it is, but an engineer, when I saw it, thought, boy, that could work very well for us.
I had to make sure it was Good Friday and not April 1st
when I read this.
I thought, this is not possible.
I don't think you can trust the, well, like, one drone breaks down and you're screwed. Yeah. Like, why can't you use, like, guy wires or something
what
instead?
What is it, though? The drones are holding up a screen?
Well,
yeah,
they're
what are they
probably
holding up?
Oh, no, you know what? Just, like, yeah, they're high enough up in the air that they just put a screen in front of where the sun would hit a large portion, and you just block it out. Kind of like in The Simpsons did this. Mr. Burns did it to create constant nighttime, so people would have to use more power.
What could,
Shad Khan, this is
classic Montgomery Burns.
This was his nefarious plan. Shad Khan isn't trying to offer comfort. He's trying to up the electricity prices.
What could possibly go wrong with this?
This is really futuristic. I kind of like it, though, because I know we get very few of these in the summer, but I like the overcast days.
Oh, yeah.
Because the overcast days, it's like warm, but it's not unbelievably hot.
I'll take it all year long, please.
Can I tell you, during the eclipse, that was about like the perfect climate. Do you remember the eclipse last year? Or was it 2 years ago by now? It was kind of it was a diffused sunlight.
Right before Harvey.
And it was
Harvey.
Kind of like felt like an overcast day a little bit. Yep. Yeah, it was really comfortable. Was that before Harvey?
It was before Harvey.
Oh, boy.
I think it was like a couple of weeks.
Can you imagine back in the day if that had happened? Then obviously the eclipse.
Oh, it's because the gods were angry.
Yeah, the gods were angry. They blocked out the sun, and then Harvey came.
We have to sacrifice some humans.
The old gods and the new. All right, Mark Vandermeer is in, brought to you by Mattress Firm. I'm excited. We're only 6 days away from the NFL draft.
How about that? 1 week from today, I'll be in, by the way. We'll talk about the first round pick.
We're very excited. And I think they will, for the record, make a pick in the first round.
I do, too. I think there will be a player there, like Brian Gaines said.
Yes.
Bold predictions about you guys.
What do you guys have tonight at 6 p.m.?
Johnny and I, we're going to have Cecil Shorts on. I know he's been on the station, but he's really
more
great.
Cecil.
Cecil. I think we got to get Cecil more involved in the offense.
Yep.
So we're going to do that tonight and just have some fun. It's Good Friday. Let's do that. Next week, by the way, Deshaun Watson on Texans All Access, Brian Gain on Texans All Access, all coming up Monday and Tuesday. Be listening.
I got in an angry exchange on Twitter. It was actually when I deleted Twitter off my phone for the last time. Was when I got into an angry exchange with a guy who was trying to talk smack to Cecil. Like, it said that, oh, you're just a receiver out of a job. And I was like, dude, he tore like four ligaments in his leg on one single play.
Yeah.
And he's out of a job because his knee almost exploded.
And he just
got
scoped
so pissed.
Again. He just got scoped again.
He's still having surgeries. Yeah. Plus, he's got 19 kids.
Yes. Yeah. And he's the best. He's an awesome, nice guy. Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Vandermeer every Friday, brought to you by Mattress Firm in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, the Meltdown features this.